Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 11, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God, I will make my prayer to thee. And what follows, Psalter 11, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 9, the verses 1 through 16. First, we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 9, the first 16 verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Grisnick, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter yesterday evening, and Mr. William Slingeland, who hopes to turn 85 in the day of tomorrow. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Eternal, unchangeable, almighty, most holy, but also good-doing and merciful God. Then we are evidences, then we are monuments of thy mercy. When in this morning hour that we may see the sun arise, and thou hast granted opportunity to come up to thy house, and that for a people that are lying under the sentence of death. Oh, it is written in thy word that the grave never says it is enough. But in this past week, not one was brought to the cemetery, but we have been carried upon the wings of thy mercy, Lord. Wilt thou grant an impression thereof, and that there may yet be a humbling of the heart? Thou knowest that by nature, how hard, how unfeeling our hearts are, that even under thy greatest blessings, under thy greatest mercies, under thy sparing and caring hand, under refreshing showers that thou granteth in the realm of nature, that if thou doth not grant it, Lord, then our heart only becomes harder under thy blessings. May there be a people in our midst that may be concerned with the same, that they have cried unto thee and said, Lord, Thou art so good, thou art so merciful, thou grantest so many blessings, and my heart remaineth so hard, oh, it even seems that it is becoming harder and harder. Lord, to that end, the necessity of the work of thy Holy Spirit. Then thou was also being a wonder-doing God in a sister congregation where a little daughter was lost and she was found. Then thou was so wonderfully watched over her in the forest during the whole night watch, and that in the following day that she may come in the arms of her parents, Lord, wilt thou grant unto that family a broken and a humble heart, and that it may work out something for thy honor and for thy glory. But we do not only have to be watched over in a forest. We have to be watched over every place, also during the night watches. When we may lie upon our bed, then it is also thy doing to awake us, and that we may arise, grant more and more an impression how dependent we are upon thee for everything, and that we are feeble creatures of the dust, creatures of flesh and blood, but also a people that has sinned everything away. We have left thee in paradise, and we only multiply our sins. Lord, we humbly ask thee on this Sabbath day that thou may bless thy holy word. Bless it to the hearts of young and old. Wilt thou do a great work amongst us in the latter days of the earth, where the times are so dark and where they are so fearful? Then surely, then thy judgments are hanging so low over the earth, and who has a heart to perceive it? But wilt thou work mightily from generation to generation, and that in this very hour that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee, that they may become a true seeker, placed in their guilt, the love shed abroad in the heart, and a following after thee, but also where thou hast begun that work. Oh, the necessity that we may learn more and more that we can never save ourselves, even our best works and our religious duties. They are pollution in thy holy and pure sight. We need that precious mediator. To that end, wilt thou grant further instruction to thy people? Thou knowest what they stand in need of. Wilt thou uphold them? Wilt thou comfort and wilt thou encourage them? Wilt thou grant the strengthening of their faith? And wilt thou grant that closer life at the throne of grace, continually begging of thee for thy blessings and for thy benefits, that they may be given to rejoice more in thee, to be more humble, to be more thankful. Lord, wilt thou so remember from the youngest to the oldest in this morning hour, then it has pleased thee to bless a father and mother yesterday evening with the birth of a little child. Then thou was spared life, then thou was given life. Wilt thou also grant unto those parents, and not only that they may be glad, because when we are only glad, that centers in self and in our fellow man, but may it please thee by thy Spirit, that the birth of their little child, that it may be used for their eternal welfare. And may it be a little daughter born to be born again, Wilt thou remember the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with another blessing, but also an increased responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Then we commend unto thee the many special needs. Oh, do remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other loved ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to remember and uphold them, that the callings may be sanctified. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, those in our Bethesda. Remember them with those that may lovingly care for them, and the elderly ones that may still be in their dwellings, that may still go in and out. Lord, remember all those that are under the physician's care in a special way. Among young and old, thou knowest the concerns, the fears, and the cares that there are. May they receive a special place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee of all their infirmities. And may they be given to beg of thee, that it may be infirmities that may come out of thy right hand, that thou may use it for the saving of souls. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, with those that may care for them? Wilt thou remember for body and for soul? Lord, remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters that are wandering elsewhere. May it please thee by thy almighty grace to yet arrest and stop them, that they may come to themselves and that they may learn what they need. Ah, Lord, wilt thou teach us all that by nature, through our deep fallen Adam, we have become such a prodigal son and daughter, and that we need to be returned by thy free and sovereign grace, and given to confess I have sinned before heaven and before thee, but I will return to my Father and say that I am no longer worthy to be called a son. Oh, there is a people, if they only may become a servant in thy service, that they may belong to thee, and a servant and a handmaiden that may be washed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, O wonder-doing God. Wilt thou then perform those wonders in this very hour? May it not have to be a plowing upon the rocks. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Lord, we give thee many reasons that thou would depart from us, where we have become so like unto the world, where the spirit is grieved and the spirit is quenched. But may it please thee to have mercy upon us. Oh, that the candlestick of thy holy word, that it may burn brighter and brighter. And to that end, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. Wilt thou send strength from the sanctuary? Wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above? Wilt thou grant that there may be a little milk for the little ones? May little lambs be born in this day, but also stronger meat for those that are a little further on the way, and a heart full of love for the unconverted. Oh, impress upon all our hearts what an awful and terrible thing it is to be unconverted, without God, without Christ, without hope in this world, and nor in the world to come, but we are still upon praying and seeking ground. Wilt thou so remember all the hearers? Help also our little boys and girls to understand. Thou only needeth one word, but what the little children need, that we all need, Lord. May so our eyes be upon thee, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the full and the free remission of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 184, the stanzas 1 through 5. Save me, O God, because the floods come in upon my soul. I sink in depths where none can stand. Deep waters over me roll. Psalter 184, the first 5 stanzas. And the extra collection today is for the Student Support Fund.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 9, the verses 10 through 16, and we shall read the verses 10, 11, and 12. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ's surprising revelation to Ananias concerning Saul. Four thoughts. In the first place, the readiness of Ananias. Secondly, the mandate for Ananias. Thirdly, the objection of Ananias. And fourthly, the instruction for Ananias. Jesus Christ's surprising revelation to Ananias concerning Saul. The readiness of Ananias, the mandate for Ananias, the objection of Ananias, and the instruction for Ananias. Thus first, the readiness of Ananias. Beloved congregation, we have heard the past Sabbath day that there was a house on the street called Straight where there was a great need, where there was a desperate need, where there was one that needed comfort. Have there been such dwelling places in the past week? In this morning hour, a great need, it is true, the temporal needs and cares, they can be manifold. But then we are speaking of Saul's needs. Then we have heard that Saul, that he received a place on that street Straight. And when the Lord begins, then we have much to do with the law that is so straight. Not to compare our life to the world or to others, but to the holy word of God. In daily life, there is such a thing as optical illusion. Boys and girls, when we drive toward the foothills or in the mountains, then sometimes it is very difficult to tell whether the road is going up or down. Many times it seems to be going down. Well, perhaps we are traveling upwards. And to that end, the necessity that we lay our life beside the holy law of God. And the Lord demands perfection. And now we read in the scriptures that Saul, 3 days and three nights in that dwelling without eating or drinking. Concerning these matters, then we read wonderful and amazing things in Luke 15 with those three parables of that lost sheep, coin, and son. Then we read in verse 7, a joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And in verse 10, a joy in the presence of the angels of God. There is much concerning the angels that is mysterious for us and our children. And nevertheless, in God's word, what wonderful things are spoken concerning that ministry. Do we not read in Psalm 34, verse 7, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear them and deliver them? Do you hear it, boys and girls? That is now the blessed portion of the true child of God. In Hebrews 1, verse 14, that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto the heirs of salvation. Do we not read in 2 Kings 6 of the prophet Elisha on that hill Dothan with his servant? And when that servant looked over the edge of the hill and that it was surrounded by Samaritan horsemen and chariot, that he said to Elisha, "Alas, master, what shall we do? Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And then that servant was also given to see those fiery horses and chariots. They were the angels that were encamping around the prophet. We have more examples in the scripture. But now concerning when the Lord converts sinners, when they are given to repent, when they are given to pray, also for a soul in that house on the street called Straight. Then the angels in heaven, they were given to rejoice. And that implies something very wonderful. Because when we read, when it is clearly declared two times, joy in heaven and joy in the presence of the angels of God, boys and girls, who else are in heaven? Those are God's people that have been taken home with their souls. What a profound thought. Many times it happens. A God-fearing father, a God-fearing mother, or God-fearing grandparents. Many prayers. There's a blessing when that may take place. When there may be parents and grandparents that receive special exercises concerning their seed. But many times it pleases the Lord to take them home without having received an answer upon their prayers and the promises fulfilled. But now when those prayers and promises may be fulfilled after their death, is it not implied in God's word that when there shall be joy in heaven, also in the presence of the angels, and when we read the book of Revelation, then John is seen in a vision that the saints and the angels, many times he has seen them together. Those are very deep and profound things. But that also for the saints in heaven, when they shall hear of their seed, different ones, behold, he prayeth. What a joy that shall be in heaven. There have been sons and daughters that have been naughty. He forgot to tell you Wednesday night, young people. There's an awful thing to sin against the mother's and also a father's love. I hope many times that you think of all what they have done and they are doing, and that you do your best with the help of the Lord, that you ask the Lord that you grieve them not, because there have been many sons and daughters with the death of parents that they would give anything to make it right. And when the Lord converts sons and daughters, then how the thoughts can multiply. What a blessing it would be if father and mother could still see it. But what a profound and wonderful thought. Joy in heaven concerning a sinner that repents. Has that now ever taken place concerning you, congregation? Has there now been joy in heaven over you? Oh, when you may be given to believe, I know there can be many questions, but has it now ever become different? Has the Lord now shed that love abroad in our heart? Oh, have we become a true seeker in daily life when we are seeking something, and something is very important in our mind? Then we know that we are a seeker, and so it shall be also in the life of grace. Then we are given to seek after that living God where all blessings must come from. And now for Ananias, there was work to do. There was a great need in a dwelling. What a blessing it is for office bearers when it may be heard that there are spiritual needs, there are souls' needs. Let us also add many times for those that are called upon to labor in the Lord's vineyard. Then you see and hear much that discourages, and then there can be seem to be a much plowing upon the rocks. But what shall it be when the Lord takes them home, and that they may hear in heaven that the Lord is still working continually in the hearts of young and old? And now it is evident that in that house, in that street straight, that there was a great need. There was an unbearable need. 3 days and three nights without eating and drinking. Tis true, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, then we find different exhortations and different examples concerning fasting, not eating and drinking for a certain time, and denying ourselves the pleasures of the flesh, that we may be more tender, more be given to think of the Lord and of our soul. We have examples in the Old Testament, public fasting, also personal, but also in the New Testament. Do we not read in Mark 9, verse 29, when there was that father that has brought his boy in a very sad condition, and when Christ with his three disciples on the mountain of transfiguration, and they have come down, and then there were those that disputing with the disciples, because the disciples have tried to cast that evil spirit out, but that spirit has remained. And then Christ has commanded with a divine authority. And then those disciples have asked Jesus why they could not cast them out. And then in verse 29, this kind goeth forth by prayer and by fasting. So undoubtedly, Saul, to show that his repentance was sincere, oh, it is true, he had to learn that with his repentance, he could never save himself. But now with Saul, the Lord has done a very short and a very powerful work. Oh, as the prophet Isaiah now declared in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." Oh, as that mighty God, then he has felt Saul on that way to Damascus, that he has become a beggar and a seeker. Oh, then Saul, when he was fell to the ground, then he has already experienced wonderful things. But now when we read that he was in that house 3 days and 3 nights without eating and with drinking, that tells us that his distress has become great. Oh, it has become unbearable. Oh, then he was arrayed before the holy and the pure justice of God, that he is of purer eyes than to behold evil, for the Lord cannot look on iniquity. Then the Lord in that house straight, then he has summoned Saul to the courthouse. And then the Lord has said unto Saul that he must pay his debt. Oh, then he was given to see how much and how great he has sinned. We read that it was the house of Judas. And Judas, that comes from the Old Testament, Judah. And do we not read in Genesis 29, verse 35, the fourth son that Leah has born, that she was given to praise the Lord with the birth of Judah? Oh, when the Lord arrays us before his justice, then the Lord demands his image back, and then the Lord says, pay what thou owest. Thus Saul has received that summons. He has appeared in that house, and there he has appeared before the judge. That is necessary also in the life of God's people. It is the work of the Spirit to grant that summons in natural life. Then we can go to a courthouse without a summons, but then nothing shall happen. And now for the child of God, same as in daily life. If you have a father that has a farm or a business and many adversities, and he has come in great debt, he has received many notices in the mail, but then if he receives a letter that comes from the courthouse, oh, then that father, how afraid he becomes. Then he shows it to his wife and says, look, must be a summons. We have to appear before the court because of our debt. Are there souls that say, that is now my situation? Oh, because when we live on that street straight and we have to do with the holy law of God, then we become busy to pay that debt. Maybe at the beginning a little hope, but by that further uncovering to learn that we can never pay and even our religious duties, they are sin before that holy majesty. Instead of our debt becoming less, it becomes more. Ah, then that people are so afraid of that summons, because then they must perish. But now, a soul, he has received that summons. He was arrayed before justice, and the demand of the law and the justice of God's soul, pay now everything that thou owest. And Saul has learned, oh, it was a very quick work. It was a short work. Then it is evident that in those 3 days and 3 nights, and Saul has already experienced much, he could tell us what the Lord has done. He could tell us that the Lord has heard prayers. He could tell us that the Lord has given encouragements, that the Lord has given instruction. But it is evident that in that house, in those 3 days and three nights, that he could not appear with those matters before the Lord, and that the Lord demanded payment. Oh, the justice of God. And that is so necessary. The one is lit more clear than the other, and the Lord holds a deeper way, but they all learn the same thing. And now, this clear, oh, as the stress was so great, that for 3 days and three nights, that he has not eaten or drinking. Oh, he was arrayed before the justice of God. Oh, was Saul in that street, then he was given to bow, then he was given to love a God of justice more than his own salvation. Oh, then surely when we read, because otherwise, then surely Saul would have risen and at least taken a little water to drink. But his distress was so great. Oh, before him he has learned he was the chief. He has learned on that street that he was the chiefest of sinners. He has learned what a terrible thing it was to sin against a good and a righteous God. Oh, was Saul on that street, and then he was led back with everything that he has done, and that it was all blinking sins before divine majesty. Oh, then for Saul there was only one place, only one right place, and that was to be sent to hell forever and ever. Does it distress Saul? He has received a summons. There have been people of God that have received that summons with trembling and have experienced something of what it is to be lost, go lost, and yet bowing under the justice of God, and yet that the judge has not spoken, and that they have an unsolved case. Reverend Hoagland, I believe in Lord's Day number 23, then he has written it that there are people of God that have an ongoing court case. Oh, exercise, they live not so easy, can be in daily life, that there can be a lawyer, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is called to advocate, and that they receive encouragement, but in a court, then the judge must speak. Saul was greatly distressed. He was summoned for the Lord's justice. Pay what thou owest. This necessary congregation, it is true, when the Lord begins that good work in the heart of a sinner, then that throne of justice that is erected in their heart and conscience, because then they have to do with a holy and a good-doing God, and then they become a sinner. But now the necessity. Oh, for a soul, he could not live off of his experience. It cannot be missed. There was sincerity, not given to eat and drink, because when the Lord shows us our sin, there shall be repentance, there shall be sincerity. And shall the Lord now forget such a one? Such a one that is begging. Such a one that is given to a bow before the justice of God. For such a one that is given to a door. All for such a one that may say with our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 5, question and answer 12, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there then a way that we can escape that punishment? And do you know the rest of the answer, congregation? Do you know the rest of the answer? To escape punishment, because that's what we all want to do. And restored into thy favor, that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. God will have his justice satisfied. And the satisfaction must be made either by us or by another. Ah, shall the Lord forget such a one? Cannot be. Shall not be. The Lord has begun in the life of Saul. Oh, he has received an encouragement. The Lord still at work for Saul to do. And to that end, then we read in our text words, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Then in our text words, we read of the communion of saints. What a blessing and what a privilege that is. When the Lord grants, when God's people may be exercised with one another, that they may know their needs in their inner chamber before it is even related unto them. And now this Ananias lived in Damascus many fears. His name means whom Jehovah has graciously given. Perhaps his father and mother received a deep, profound impression when they received their little boy that it was a gift from heaven, graciously given by Jehovah. That is also a blessing, parents. When we may truly become humble with the birth of a child, and that we may see our little child as a special gift from above. With so many of our gifts, do we really appreciate them enough? Can never do that enough. When our family circles, when there are no empty places, when from Sabbath day to Sabbath day we may gather together with the whole congregation. And now of this Ananias, there is something special written, a certain disciple. The Lord is so free. He did not send one of the apostles, the 12, to go to Saul. Or a Philip, as he is sent to the Ethiopian in Acts 8. The Lord is free who he chooses and who he uses. But now this Ananias had a very close and a tender life, because there is written in Acts 22, verse 12, a devout man according to the law, means a pious man, a man that had a close life to the Lord, a tender life, could be seen that the word of God had a special place. That he was afraid to grieve his God, because the church learns that it shall bring much darkness upon their soul. Thus a devout man, having a good report of all the Jews, of course, first a good report by the Lord, nevertheless in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Thus in Damascus, then if we would ask the boys and girls about the people of God, then undoubtedly they would say, oh, Ananias, I am sure that he is a child of God. But then if we would ask that boy or girl, but how do you know? Oh, that can even be seen. And once we have met him, and he has asked not only for our name, but he has even asked me if I had a new heart. Oh, I could feel it from that Ananias, that he had such a desire that I would also receive a new heart, that I may love and fear the Lord. And now we read in our text, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, called by name. And now we also read something remarkable. Many a times when the Lord has visited his people and had a message for them, then many places in Scripture, then we read that that people, that they were very afraid. But we do not read the same of Ananias, that tells us that he had such a close and a tender life. Oh, people of God, then we have reasons to examine ourselves. But now to continue. And he said unto the Lord in a vision, can be when they are asleep, that they are in ecstasy, or even awake. We read of many different visions in the Bible. Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Do you hear it? At the Lord's disposal, ready to listen and ready to obey. Behold, I am here, Lord. And Ananias did not say, at the moment I am too busy or too tired. Thus, Lord, thou must first tell me what I must do, and then I shall tell whether it's possible. No, unconditional. How is that with us, congregation? Lord speaks to us in so many ways. Maybe sometime we say we are actually too busy. Fathers and mothers are busy when they have more time. Then I shall be more diligent. Maybe one says or more says, I am too young. It's an awful thing to say, of course. There's a blessing when the Lord may convert us early. As much for it, boys and girls. What a reasons there can be. Think of that parable in Luke 14. Of the king that made a supper. The one had bought a piece of land. Another one some yoke of oxen. And another one has married a wife, so they have not come. But Ananias, unconditional, Lord, here I am. Mark of the tender fear of the Lord. Our second thought, the mandate for Ananias, let us first sing. Psalter 233, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant, he. 233, 1, 2, 5, and 6. Thank you. Our second thought, the mandate for Ananias. How the church in Damascus, how they must have prayed fervently. It's true also that church in Damascus, a prayer is not something that the church can give to themselves. There can be the greatest need, the greatest persecution, but the church shall experience that of self a day of no true and upright prayer. Paul has written to Romans, to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 26, for the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All the Spirit of prayer and of supplication. The Lord has a people that learns that they need the praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father. But undoubtedly what a need there was when the church in Damascus had heard that Saul has received permission from the high priest to come to the church and without pity to bite men and women, and that he would take him to Jerusalem, that they would be condemned. What a tears must have been shed. What a questions must have been asked by the children in the midst of the church. Oh, Father and Mother, what is now going to happen to us? Then the parents had no answer. Then they have said, we must ask the Lord, try to ask the Lord much, that he may do wonders, that the Lord, that he may put a fiery wall round about us, that maybe Saul cannot find us. But now we read in Ephesians 3 verse 20, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think. And that has now taken place in Damascus. Then the Lord has not forgotten that church in uncertainty. Perhaps they have heard how far Saul was advancing, and then a quietness. Maybe each day, each night, afraid that their houses would be found and that they would be captured, but it was quiet. Shall the Lord then forget his church? Shall the Lord then forget his disciple Ananias? No, I read in Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them, and he will show them his covenant. And now the Lord has revealed unto Ananias wonderful and amazing things. And then the Lord has said unto Ananias, when we read, behold, I am here, Lord, then we can find already similarities between Saul and Ananias. Both said Lord. Also Ananias, title of respect, but also master, possessor. And the Lord said unto him, arise, O Ananias. There is a great need in the church. There is one with great soul's troubles. There is one that is at its wit's end. Thus, Ananias, you must immediately arise. Must not wait, but immediately arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas. That is also instruction and encouragement for praying souls. Are there praying souls in our midst? And oh, it is true. we read the Psalms, there are those that have cried. But do we not read in Psalm 13, verse 1, O Lord, how long shalt thou forget me? How long shalt thou hide thy face? Psalm 22, verse 2, the daytime I cry unto thee, and thou hearest not. And in the nighttime I am not silent. There can be times for those souls that they are afraid that the Lord does not hear them. The Lord does not know where they live. That the Lord no longer knoweth their address. But do you hear it, soul? The specific street, the specific house is mentioned to Ananias, where there was a great and desperate need. What an encouragement to continue to pray. Thus, to go to that street straight, to the house of Judas, for one called Saul. What a shock that must have been for Ananias, because that was that persecutor. His name was well known in Damascus, that is clear. When we read these verses, and no mistake, the Lord has said, Saul of Tarsus, that was that self-righteous Pharisee, the persecutor that was such an enemy of Jesus and of the cross. Oh, a man that was steeped in so much ignorance, and that was thinking that he was doing God a service when he would arrest the followers of Jesus Christ and when they may be put to death. Saul of Tarsus, but then there was added, behold, to call attention, something very special. Oh, Ananias, Saul of Tarsus, behold, he prayeth. What do you think, boys and girls? Do you think Saul has prayed before? Oh, he has prayed much. We read of the Pharisees in Luke 18, that Pharisee stood on the corner of the street. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, unjust extortioners, adulterers, or even as that publican. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And in other place we read that there were many Pharisees. It's true. Must not put them all under one umbrella. Think of Nicodemus. But that there were many Pharisees that stood on the corners of the street, that they could be seen of men. Thus Saul has prayed oftentimes. But what does the Lord now mean when he said to Ananias, behold, he prayeth? What do you think that means, boys and girls? What do you think that means? When the Lord said to Ananias, behold, something very special, he prayeth. It was a true prayer. Oh, shall we say, most of our prayers, are they worthy to be called prayers? Lord, as a people that learns that they need to repent over their repentance and pray over their prayers. Oh, Saul, a religious man, must not think, boys and girls, that he skipped praying. That when he went to bed at night, that he thought, sometime I am now too tired and not time. Thus I shall skip at once to read his Bible. No, Saul was very devout. He could even say blameless, according to the law of Moses. But now behold, he prayeth. That was a prayer out of a true need. By the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit. Oh, in the scriptures, when we think of prayer, many different words to describe the truth of prayer. A crying, a weeping, a supplicating, a groaning, a mourning. Many different words in the scripture to describe the depth of true prayer. What a message, O Ananias, that persecutor with those letters in his pocket. Behold, he prayeth. Oh, and that house, there is a need, it is a prayer unto the living God. That is the surest mark of grace and the surest mark of a tender life. John Bunyan has stated in a certain place that either prayer will cause us to cease from sinning, must not understand it absolutely, or sinning will cause us to cease from prayer. Bishop Briarcliff has even said that our sinning, that it will choke prayer. But prayer, upright prayer, true prayer, oh, it is true. We would ask Saul in that house, what do you think, Saul? Are you no praying? Oh, then he maybe would say, I do not dare to call it that. But one thing I know, that I was blind and I now see, it is true. With his eyes he was still blind, but spiritually. Then he was given to see many matters which he had not seen before. Prayer. That is the surest mark of grace. That is the surest mark of a close life with the Lord. Even the world, I have read. In Switzerland, there were two travelers. The one was a Christian, and the other one was one that had not much to do with religion. And they were traveling through a forest. And concerning that forest, there were not such good reports. Murder, stealing. But they needed a place to stay, and there was an inn. And they were a little afraid, but they needed a place. So they went in that place. They were full of suspicion. But then before they were sent to the room, then that owner said, we shall first read our Bible and pray. And then those two men, they walked to the room. And then that infidel, he said to the Christian, now we may sleep peacefully. And then the Christian said, I thought that you did not believe in religion. Even that man had an impression when there may be prayer, even in an outward way. What a privilege and what a blessing. Behold, he prayeth. How is it with us, congregation? We shall close. Lord, grant us the next week we can continue. Has that now become true in our life? Behold, he, she prayeth. And that especially in secret. Called in public, of course. Fathers as head of the household, the table. Other places, the mouthpiece for the family is your calling. But secret prayer. And not only set times, but special different times. Even with our cap on, you know what that means. When we are working in the kitchen, the barn, the field, the truck, that many prayers are sent up, not only concerning our temporal needs, to the smallest details, but concerning Saul. It was especially concerning his soul. Behold, he prayeth. Oh, may the Lord grant in this time that it may be heard more and more. Behold, he, she, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones. Of course, those prayers. Oh, sometime it is necessary reading the Bible that we first wash our face. It is in secret. But, behold, he prayeth, cannot remain hidden. That becomes evident in our life and in our walk. Oh, that Ananias, the Lord, has revealed special things unto him when that takes place. That binds the church together in a special way. The Lord grant those wonderful things unto us and our children. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then by renewal in this morning hour, then we have heard of wonderful things. Oh, in the midst of the church, there was a great need. There was a beggar at the throne of grace that has been summoned before thy judgment, and that he had nothing to pay, and he was given to weep so bitterly. But thou wast sent a message to one of thy servants, oh, to a certain address. And the need was declared the communion of saints, Lord. Well, thou grant those wonderful things unto us and our children. Well, thou convert what is unconverted, O Lord. If we are not summoned before thy justice here in the time, and to receive the pardoning of our sins, then there shall come a day, and it can come so soon, so unexpectedly, the day of our death, give an account of thy stewardship. But also on the great day of judgment, when the trumpet shall sound, and that the world shall be summoned to appear before the judge and to be judged, Lord. Work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Remember this Sabbath day. May we be given to keep it holy, and may here and there be found a few that must go to a secret place to unburden their heart and to be given to beg of thee for the wonderful things of the Lord, to pour out their heart and to tell thee that they can miss all things, but they cannot miss thee, and they need thy righteousness. Lord, graciously watch over us over the unsafe roads. Wilt thou return us in this evening hour? Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter 427. The stanzas 3 and 8. The Lord's right hand is high exalted. A Jehovah strong and mighty hand. The vaunting enemy halted and made his chosen ones to stand. And what follows? 427, 3 and 8. Amen. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.